Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Things Therapy. I'm your host, Lisa Tahir. I'm a licensed clinical social worker practicing as an intuitive psychotherapist. I am certified in EMDR and Reiki. I have physical offices in both Los Angeles and New Orleans. However, I conduct Skype, FaceTime, and phone sessions worldwide. And you can reach me to schedule sessions, to inquire about being a guest on this show, or to advertise through my website, which is nolatherapy.com, the abbreviation for New Orleans, Los Angeles Therapy. And you can find archived episodes of this show and subscribe to listen each week on YouTube, iTunes, and Google Play. I am really excited to have my guest on today. She has been on several times. Carolyn Bufkin is a psychic medium. She's an astrologer with over 25 years of experience. Not only 25 years, she actually began her psychic abilities at the age of 7. She's been featured on Fox 8 News, in New Orleans Magazine regularly, in various newspapers. She does corporate readings for Fortune 500 companies. She's a regular astrological columnist for Greater New Orleans Living Magazine. She writes for Mountain Astrologer and Alternatives Magazine also. So, Carolyn, welcome back on the show today. Hello.
Oh, thank you so much, Lisa. I appreciate it.
How are you today?
Having me. Good. You know, life isn't bad. And thank you. And actually, I had one article published in Mountain Astrologer, and you know, right around the time of Hurricane Katrina. And Greater New Orleans Magazine has, the title of the magazine has been changed to New Orleans Living. So I have been a columnist for New Orleans Living Magazine since 1999. Thanks to Maria Muro, the owner of the magazine.
The owner. Yeah, she's great. Yeah. I was reading your column last night in the magazine, in fact.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Yes, and isn't she wonderful? She's an Aries.
She is. Oh, yes. She's an Aries. I'm not surprised with all that she does and gets done.
Exactly. And Aries is associated with initiative, courage, taking charge, you know, not just thinking about doing something, but taking action.
Yes.
It's what we call an action-taking cardinal sign. And because your moon is an Aries, your moon, which is associated with your emotions, what is going on the id or the inside, is in the sign of Aries, you're quite the take charge personality, Lisa.
I am, and my rising is Aries, so I have a double take action energy.
Ooh, double Aries, and that's part of why you also put emphasis on exercise,
right?
Keeping, you know, I touched Lisa's arm the other day, and I can tell you, audience, all I felt were muscles.
Aw, thank you, Carolyn. That's sweet.
It's true.
But it's the holidays. I've been eating ice cream every day. It's fantastic.
But you know what? It doesn't show. And you know what? And your arms are so ripped, you know, with muscles. So,
I work hard at it.
Well, you know, Aries is ruled by the planet Mars, and Mars is associated with physical movement, physical prowess. So oftentimes an Aries will channel their assertiveness into exercise, or they'll channel that need to keep moving. I don't want to say aggressiveness. That's kind of a harsh word. So I'll just keep it to, you know, they'll channel their Mars energy.
Assertively,
nature.
I think.
through exercise. You know, like a lot of Aries actually become physical fitness trainers, physical therapists.
Cool.
I know, right, Lisa? I mean, if you weren't so busy, you could probably help a lot of your clients to get moving, you know? Well, you do help them to get moving. You do help them to get off their duff.
Well, also, Carolyn, I don't know if you know, I've been a fitness instructor for 12 years. So I do that on the side for fun.
I know, right? What a great again for that Aries energy, especially the Aries Gemini combination, you know, because Gemini is also associated with movement, mobility. You know, a lot of Geminis will choose a profession, say as a flight attendant, sometimes UPS, traveling sales. Gemini is associated with Mercury, the messenger, and he flitted from here to there delivering messages. So, you know, Gemini is associated with travel. So Geminis don't particularly like being still either.
Yes.
So with that Gemini-Aries combination, wow, again, what a great combination for being a physical fitness trainer. And even if you didn't participate in physical fitness or teach, which is a Gemini connotation, teach others how to stay in shape. I always say that if we attract an Aries into our lives, Aries kind of helps us to get moving. If not physically, then, you know, sometimes we'll attract an Aries who will help us to find the courage to start that business or muster the courage to, you know, finally make the residential change or muster the courage to make a relationship. So I often say if we attracted an Aries or a person with a lot of Aries, they're trying to help us to get moving, or our psyche is trying to help us to get moving. They're merely a reflection of what's going on within our psyche.
Oh, cool.
But back to Gemini, I did want to mention.
Yeah, where do you want to begin today?
Well, digressing to Gemini for just a moment, the last time we conversed, I mentioned that Gemini has been experiencing what some would describe as a challenging angle since the fall of
2014.
That's right. Now, in my nervousness, I used the verb square, but Saturn has actually been opposing. Now, all of the same connotations about which I spoke apply. You know, those with Saturn opposing the Sun have felt a push to reevaluate or reassess career. Some Geminis experiencing transiting Saturn opposing the Sun have dealt with bosses, landlords, judges, anyone in power who can be micromanaging than usual. Gemini has had nose to the grindstone. They've taken life more seriously. So everything we talked about the last time applies. I accidentally used the verb square instead of opposing. So you guys have been through the opposition. When I listened back, I said, I accidentally used the verb square instead of opposing. So you guys have been dealing with an opposition since from Saturn, the planet of pragmatism, heaviness, focus, kind of getting
boundaries.
Anytime Saturn opposes or squares or forms a conjunction to any of our planets, it can be a time of taking on greater responsibility in the area of our lives that that particular planet represents. And so, if I may, I will segue into Trump's chart, because he was born with the Sun, the North Node, and Uranus in the sign of Gemini. Now, I noticed in preparation before calling, mm-hmm. before you guys called me, that that transiting Saturn will definitely be an orb to form an opposition to his sun all through 2017. So okay. People are going to really be watching him. I mean, oftentimes when, you know, transiting Saturn aspects the sun, we're under a great degree of scrutiny. I mean, yeah. You know, normal people, again, who have bosses, the boss, you know, may make sure that the employee, you know, crosses the T and dots the I, or
right.
You know, the employee follows through, or, you know, the landlord especially notices whether or not, you know, the tenant is keeping maybe his area clean, you know, I say hypothetically. So, you know, I mean, any president is under a lot of scrutiny, but from an astrological perspective, I mean, with his starting his reign.
Yeah,
under, you know, Saturn opposing the sun. I mean, people are going to, like, scrutinize him.
As they have been.
To the max. But it'll probably become even more heightened, you know, as Saturn, you know, begins a closer orb to the sun. In 2017. And, you know, Gemini is one of the signs associated with communication. So the public is going to find themselves watching every word, every utterance, you know, every maybe contract.
As
you know,
we should be.
Every piece of paper that's signed. And you're right. It should be that way for anyone who is in power. But again, I think that any president who would be going in when transiting Saturn is opposing the sun, they will especially find themselves under scrutiny. And again, because, you know, Gemini is associated with communications, you know, people will be sort of monitoring or analyzing every word. And, you know, yeah. since Gemini is associated with teaching, and Donald Trump was also born with Moon in Sagittarius, which is the sign of higher education, you know, more information may come to light regarding, you know, the university that he used to own.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So now continuing with his chart, let's see here. The fact that he even won when, you know, Saturn was pretty close to opposing the sun is kind of amazing. You know, a lot of times, you know, when Saturn forms, again, the opposition, the conjunction of the square to a personal planet, you know, our wins are delayed, or our, you know, rewards are delayed. But I remember a very wise Capricorn astrologer telling me years ago, he said, you know, Saturn brings us what we deserve. And, you know, with Neptune being in this, let me check something here. I just want to make sure that something here. Yes. Sure. With Neptune being in the sign of Pisces, you know, people are caught up in the illusion. You know, Neptune is associated with television, you know, that which we see on the silver screen. It's associated with imagery. So, you know, we live in a reality television and social media type world. I mean, everything is about film. So much emphasis is placed on film now, television.
So, Carolyn, I have a question for you to jump in. When you said Neptune is in Pisces, do you mean today?
Yes.
Okay.
But it was also there when he was elected.
Okay, and got it. Just so our listeners follow, yeah.
And so Neptune is associated with, it's what we call a more collective position. It's a more, planet. It's a more macro planet. Neptune is one of the sign or planets associated with the group. So, when Pisces or when one of the planets of the group is, or the masses, is in the sign of Pisces, it can cause the entire collective to really be into film, really be into imagery. Hence, that's partially why social media is so popular, reality television is so popular.
Right.
I think that another reason that he was elected is because people like the image. The last time when I was analyzing Donald Trump, someone sent me an email. So I'm just stating that, with this analysis, it's a purely objective analysis.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that I am, condoning any of his behavior. It's just a purely objective analysis of why I think that he got in. So with Neptune and Pisces, people, they like what's pretty. I think a lot of people sincerely were caught up in the way that his family looks.
So I have a question for you, Carolyn, because when sure. I was in astrology school this summer, and I was taught that Neptune has to do with the way we transcend the ego. And so can you talk about that, what that means in light of Neptune transiting Pisces right now?
Yeah, I will. But back to the whole television and image thing, if it's okay to finish that out.
I just think that
people just, certain people got kind of caught up in the, they like the image, maybe they like the image of the, with they maybe perceived as the, as a patriarchal family or something,
right?
Or, family that that appeals to the eye. But you see, Pisces is also the illusion. It's the illusion.
The unconscious, the hidden, hospitals and jails, the shadow side.
Well, it's the illusion. It's kind of like that which we see on the silver screen isn't always real. So,
right.
We'll see glossy movies, we'll see two people in love, those television shows with which we grew up, which depicted perfect families and everyone being well-mannered. It's just an illusion. Pisces can be associated with that which is not real, that which we sort of aspire to because it's pretty and it helps us to wear the the rose colored glasses so that we don't have to deal with the harshness
of reality.
Exactly. Now, as far as transcending, one more thing that I did want to say about image is Jupiter was also in the sign of Libra when Donald Trump was elected, and Libra is also associated with aesthetics, and
right, because it's ruled by Venus.
Yes, and like a well-decorated room and pretty outfits, and,
right.
And I even wrote down, Christmas at the Roosevelt Hotel and art galleries. Well-set tables at Antoine's in New Orleans. It's with beauty and pleasantry. So all of this emphasis like on beauty and image, you know, was going on when he was elected, among other things. Mm-hmm. But the planet Uranus is in the sign of Aries. So, you know, Uranus is the other sign that's associated with the masses. And Aries is associated with the rogue, you know, wanting to step outside the box. Uranus and Aries, the rogue, wanting to get away from, break away from tradition.
The norm.
Wanting to break away from, you know, those who are very embedded in Washington. And we talked the last time about that's why Bernie Sanders and Trump both did so well. You know, there's a real strong desire to break away from all of that. Now, there is still some emphasis on tradition because, you know, the masses like the image of sort of the patriarchal traditional family in a sense.
Yeah. Right.
But, you know, there was a strong act of breaking away from Washington. You know, or, you know, that is what was intended by, you know, a lot of the voters. In answer to your question about, you know, Pisces and transcendence. So Pisces is associated
Neptune and transcendence, actually.
Well, Neptune is the ruler of Pisces.
Right.
So Neptune and Pisces are associated with reaching altered states. Again, you know, some people reach altered states by watching a black and white movie, a glossy movie. Some people reach altered states by watching reality TV. Those with challenging angles to Neptune or Pisces in their natal chart sometimes reach altered states through drugs, alcohol. One of the healthiest ways to utilize Neptune or Pisces is to reach altered states through yoga, meditation.
Right.
Right. So one can definitely transcend the consciousness through those kinds of activities. You know,
yeah,
yoga.
Healthier ways of doing that.
Especially. So we are being given an opportunity. And ever since Neptune entered Pisces, has there been much more emphasis on practices such as yoga, meditation, spirituality, metaphysics. So, you know, that's an answer regarding transcendence. And yes, can we transcend in a healthy manner?
Right.
Well, you know, with our own individual
practices, I think.
Yeah. I mean, we can,
and habits.
You know, I mean, meditation can help us if we're, you know, to sort of rise above all of the divisiveness, some of the violence that, you know, that we're witnessing. I mean, you know, we should still pay attention, but meditation helps us to address the situation with compassion. You know, and I know that when I'm meditating a lot, I'm able to see a connectedness between everyone. And, you know, I'm able to feel a greater degree of compassion.
I agree.
Even, you know, well, you know, even for the perpetrators. I mean, some people... You know, I mean, you know, I can see how some people would be uneasy with that, but, you know, it's just, you know, discipline or avid meditation, it changes the perspective of, you know, what we're experiencing, you know, what we're seeing, what we're viewing.
So to dovetail off of that, for our listeners, you know, you're talking about transits and such, and so how these transits, how they're useful to us. For example, Mercury stationing retrograde on December 19th, you know, why are these things important? How are they helpful for someone to call you and book a session and maybe find out about how they can use this information? Just to give a little more nuts and bolts to our listeners if you could do that for us.
Mercury retrograde is conducive for following through on those things that, you know, or those activities that may have been begun before Mercury retrograde. So Mercury retrograde can be very conducive for finally writing the thank you note or, you know,
finishing things that we need to get done. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yeah, you know, or if we had difficulty getting in touch with a friend, you know, or coworker, we may try again during Mercury retrograde, and oftentimes we'll finally get in touch with them. I mean, it is conducive for, again, following through on the paperwork, following through on the phone calls, following through on the thank you notes, you know, those things that, again, began before Mercury retrograde. I mean, most astrologers say that it's not the best idea to,
contracts or initiate like new deals like that.
Yeah, not buy a car, you know, not sign a contract for a home.
Right.
Not travel. Yeah, that's another thing. Because, you know, Mercury is the ruler of
communication.
Gemini.
Right.
Anything that is what we call ruled by Mercury or is associated with Mercury, if we are initiating the activity during Mercury retrograde, a lot of astrologers believe that, you know, things could go wrong. You know, so, yeah. Like if we're signing a contract for the car, you know, maybe we're not noticing every word in the contract. Like our mind isn't taking it in correctly, you know, or, you know, at an even more serious level, you know, the car, there may be something wrong with the car, with the automobile.
Right.
So, yeah. So, you know, with this Mercury retrograde coming up, you know, and it is, Mercury retrograde can be a time for deeper introspection, staying a little bit quieter. So we could use the time, again, to, you know, do our paperwork. You know, some people even use it to be more introspective, to go within. Some people use it to journal. You know, it's almost about inward opportunity rather than, yeah, you know,
an outward action.
Right, right.
Well, tell me this, Carolyn. We just had a full moon in Gemini on December 13th. So what does that mean for us?
Well, I think that anytime there's emphasis on Gemini energy, you know, and I'm going to look at the other transits going on that day.
On which day?
On the day of the full moon.
Okay, on the 13th, yeah.
Let's see here. Well, we had a lot of air that day. Venus, Mars, and Aquarius. Jupiter in Libra. Again, Gemini is associated with communications. All of the air signs can be associated with communications, circulating ideas. I would say with the Venus, Mars, and Aquarius, Aquarius is the sign of the humanitarian. It's one of the signs associated with giving back and or serving humanity. So
And friendship, groups, associations. My Mars is in Aquarius, so yeah, maybe, like socialization and such.
Maybe kind of Gemini using our words to help humanity, you know, using words, letters, emails, social media, you know, to help others. Aquarius is also associated with computers, higher technology, mass technology. So, you know, on that day, probably even more information came up regarding advancements in technology, advancements in computers. More news may have come about, say, about Apple or something. But I also made some notes regarding some transits.
Yeah, let's hear
that
it.
Be taking place. Well, I wrote that in January 2017. Mm-hmm. We're going to receive a Pluto Uranus Jupiter T square. Now, Pluto is going to, as part of the T square, as Pluto forms the 90 degree angle to Jupiter in Libra. In astrology, Jupiter is associated with like
luck and expansion is what I understand.
It's one of the signs associated with law. It's one of the signs associated with our beliefs, our belief systems. Jupiter is associated with philosophy. So, you know, with Pluto, which is associated with primal emotion, continuing to form a square to the planet of philosophy, I wrote down that all through 2017, really until about October, you know, we're probably going, 2017, October 2017, we're probably mm-hmm. going to continue to witness people not agree on philosophy, you know, not agreeing on ideas, ideals.
Okay.
And then with Jupiter being in the sign of Libra, and again, Libra being associated with justice, you know, one of the signs associated with law, you know, I think, again, people will really disagree about some of the laws that will be brought forth.
Okay.
A lot of the philosophies that will be brought forth. Now, Pluto, and, you know, because Pluto is associated with, it's the ruler of Scorpio. So because
right.
it's associated with real deep emotion, primal emotion, and then Uranus is associated with, well, it's an Aries, you know, bang, bang, blow them up sometimes. You know, unfortunately, we may witness more violence, you know, regarding certain laws that are being brought forth, certain programs, certain government programs. You know, Jupiter is a sign associated with not only philosophy but religion. So maybe violent protests. You know,
well, even thinking now about Aleppo and the tragedy there going on that I was reading about earlier, that there is such conflict going on. Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think, and even if we don't experience violence, if we don't experience violence to that level in the United States, you know, there's this aspect is still going to cause tension. You know, I mean, you know, even on an individual level or more microscopic level or macrocosmic, excuse me, level, you know, regarding, you know, your ideas, your philosophy, you know, your laws, you know, that you are trying to impose don't agree with my philosophy. Now, you know, at worst, you know, my hope is that, you know, we don't have the loner, because, you know, sometimes Aries can be associated with the person who goes out on their own. So hopefully, that you know, we won't see the loner who participates in violence against a group of people, or you know, another group of people attacking a group of people. Now, Uranus can be associated with the protests, you know, like in the 1960s. In 1962, we had at least, I think it was five planets. I'll have to look to see, maybe seven aligned in Aquarius. So, you know, that's for human rights really came to the fore. You know, with the Uranus part of this configuration, you know, my hope is that, oh, and then of course, Jupiter and Libra. Libra is associated with peace, harmony, balance.
Yeah. You know,
is that some peaceful protests can take place, you know, and my hope is that people, again, don't become so primal, you know, or so atavistic, so to speak, that they don't, you know, that they don't, you know, attack another, you know, but I will say that that configuration that will last until 2017, can bring tension. It brings tension into the collective. So, you know, when you talked about, made that really important point about Pisces transcending, you know, there are groups of people who are trying to include yoga in schools and, you know, like systems or private school systems, teaching the younger children, you know, yoga in schools, you know, meditation. I mean, that really is one of the most effective ways. Above the tension. And Pisces is also associated with embracing all. I mean, Pisces it's associated, it's what we call a flexible, mutable sign. So Pisces and its or Neptune and their purest forms can be associated with forgiveness, love.
They can be very artistic and empathetic also, I think.
Inclusion. You're right, empathy. So if we can, you know, use these Pisces or Neptune type of connotations, or practices, it may help, you know, when Pluto takes over and, you know, and someone wants to go bomb someone's car. Pluto in challenging aspects.
Yeah, so now, I have a question. May I jump in for a moment? Because I don't want to get too far down the road and forget to ask you this. How do we deal with challenging aspects in our chart? How do we embrace those instead of fearing them or resisting them? What are some ways that might be helpful?
Well, if a person has a challenging angle to Pluto in the natal chart, you know, Pluto is also associated with research, therapy, psychotherapy, detective work, getting to the bottom, getting to the core of a situation. Pluto is also associated with introspection. So if a person, say, has a challenging angle to Pluto in the natal chart, it would be conducive to their psyche to get with someone like you, you know, a psychotherapist. Pluto is associated with exploration. So, you know, using Pluto to explore the richness of one's own psyche, you know, the deep emotions that are embedded deeply within the psyche. You know, some Plutonians use their energy to become, say, forensic scientists. Sometimes they spend many hours in the lab.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
It is, like, very cool. You know, they use it to find the answer. You know, I know we're a little short on time, but Pluto in Greek mythology is associated with Hades. And he lived in the underworld. And, you know, Persephone was frolicking in the upper world in a field of flowers. And one day the bowels of the earth opened and Hades reached up and abducted Persephone and pulled her into the underworld. Now, that can be a metaphor for when we're in the underworld, when we're doing Pluto, it can be a really conducive time for, again, going within, going to therapy, exploring the self, instead of letting the Pluto, and Hades living in the underworld can also represent those real deep emotions that lie within our own psyche. So if we just explore them, we work through them like with a, you know, with a healing practitioner such as yourself, that can be, or if we use it to heal others, or if we use it to do like cancer research, you know.
To do something good, to do something positive and helpful.
With any aspect. You know, like there's always a positive fruition and a more challenging fruition.
Yeah, of each planet.
Right. So like a person with, say, we talked about this earlier. Let's say they had Moon conjunct Uranus in Aries. So, you know, some people with, and there may even be a challenging aspect to that Moon conjunct Uranus in Aries. Let's say, you know, Saturn opposes the...
Right.
So, you know, that person may become frustrated. You know, again, they may want to just, give a lashing of the tongue, or, you know, they may want to, you know, even punch. Because, again, Aries is ruled by Mars. Aries just, it wants to just act.
Yes, like, risk-taking, bold.
Learns to channel it into exercise, you know, teaching others how to exercise, you know, maybe teaching a physical exercise, maybe teaching another to, you know, punch the mattress, you know, as opposed to, you know, hitting another person, you know, I mean, again, with everyone, there are the, you know, or with every aspect and every sign and planetary position, or their positive fruitions, and a fruition or a manifestation that can maybe get us in trouble, or get others in trouble, or cause problems for us.
Things proactively and productively instead. We all have that choice to channel whatever energy, whatever emotion is coming up into something that's going to help transform us and the world and people around us or not. I mean, I believe each individual has the power to do that or not. So, yeah, I would say dig deep and do something different with those energies.
Manifestations are consequences to whatever we do. So, you know, like if we say we have Moon and Aries conjunct Uranus opposed Saturn and we're feeling very frustrated, or let's say Venus and, you know, Aries opposite Saturn and we're feeling very frustrated because a person's not there for us and we punch, you know, there's consequences. So there's consequences to whatever we do, you know. I mean, there are a lot of advocates for, you know, they say just be honest, kind of say what you want to say, you know, do what you want to do, let the cards fall, but there's always consequences, you know. So
yeah.
Jupiter in Libra tries to teach, it's trying to teach that maybe there's a peaceful, more diplomatic way to handle situations.
Right.
And you know, maybe on one of the shows, maybe we could talk about like the positive fruition of each sign or.
Yeah, because there's so many for every, yeah.
And a more challenging, you know, for each sign. You know, because it is interesting. I mean, and once we become, one of the reasons that I like about astrology is it's a tool that can help us to utilize our aspects and our planetary positions in the most positive way.
What made you become an astrologer, Carolyn? I know you started, you know, noticing your psychic abilities when you were young, around seven. How did that develop into also becoming an astrologer?
Well, actually, it was when I was 7 years of age that I noticed my mother constructing astrological charts. Like, I woke one morning and she was sitting at the dining room table, and she was constructing astrological charts by hand. Back then, you know, before computers, you had to work with logarithms and calculate everything by hand. And I asked what it was that she was doing, and I was absolutely fascinated, you know, at that young of an age. And so so let's see, I was born in 62, so that must have been 65. So, you know, that was back in the day when, like, one would, you know, patronize Walden Books and have to stand in the metaphysical.
All those great stores. Was your mom an astrologer, Carolyn?
Go hide in a, you know, in the metaphysical.
Yeah.
Well, she, you know, I have Uranus in my fourth house, which is the house of the home, the family, the domestic.
Right, Cancer. Marine. Yeah.
The mother. And I'm proud of her because, you know, she actually graduated summa cum laude with her master's degree. And that was like ahead of the time, you know, in the little town in which we lived in the 60s. And so she actually assessed children who had learning disabilities and helped place them in the right classroom, but very quietly behind the scenes. Because, again, this, you know, I mean, this was the 1960s and 70s in the South. And I realized that you and I, you know, did you grow up in New Orleans proper?
I did, born and raised.
In the city. Like, you didn't live in the
city. In New Orleans East, so a suburb.
Okay, right. You see, yeah, we were in the suburbs too. And back in the 1960s and 70s, I just find that the suburbs were they're still more conservative than, like, you know, if one ventured into the French Quarter.
The French Quarter, totally.
And, you know, Hampton Court. So she just kind of did it. She, in a way, kind of did it behind the scenes, but it was funny because even back then, like, sometimes she would talk about the subject to some of my very evangelical relatives.
Can't imagine that went over very well.
But then sometimes, you know, broach the subject a little bit. And her family wasn't born evangelical. You know, she had some family members who, you know, converted to those religions. And like I said, every once in a while, well, I'll tell you a funny story, that she was a Leo and she was very creative.
I like Leos a lot. Yeah.
And back then there was a tool called Artex, and, like, you would take a tube of, it was like a type of ink, and she would draw designs on pillowcases and sheets to give as gifts. And so with these evangelical relatives, like, she drew, like, a fish and wrote Pisces.
I mean, love it. Yeah.
You know, like, and then one was an Aries, so she did, like, a pillowcase set, and then a sheet, and drew a ram, and she was quite the artist, so it was really beautiful. But, you know, here's these very conservative relatives receiving these sets of sheets with, you know, the
Pisces. She was going to let it be known what she loved. Yes.
It's to a degree. It's to a degree. The best way I can say it is she kind of walked the line. She didn't
being gracious, but also being her true self, it sounds like.
A little bit. I mean, it's not like it is now, you know, or at least we think it's that way now, you know, where, you know, you see, you know, mediums on television and, you know, and astrologers have magazine columns or they're on, yeah, like, radio. And that probably existed back then. I know it existed back then, but it just wasn't as accepted back then, you know. So, you know, so a lot of people who had an interest in astrology and the metaphysical arts really had to walk the line. Oh, and you know what, Lisa, it was actually when she attained her master's at Loyola that she connected with a group who were into astrology. That's how she was introduced to astrology.
I love hearing this personal story, Carolyn. We're at the very end of our show to end, but I love this segue into your mother and how you have early recollections of seeing her do astrological charts and such. Thank you for sharing all that. I'd love to hear more.
Well, the psychic ability came up more strongly during my Saturn return. That's 28 to 30. So for every 28 to 30 is when people start to kind of get an inkling of who they truly are. And you'll see people make great changes 28 to 30. You know, some people leave a corporation. Some people go back to school. Many leave a relationship. It's really a time of coming into one's own. It's
a pivotal time. But I'm gonna pause you here because we're at the very end. But I would love to have you on in the new year, and we can talk about Saturn returns or whatever topics. I want to let listeners know how they can reach you for readings. You can find Carolyn on her website, which is carolynbufkin.com, spelled carolynbufkin.com. And you can read her columns in New Orleans Living Magazine each week online. I was reading it last night. And Carolyn, thank you for being with me today.
I thank you, Lisa. And with your More Than Aquarius, you're so altruistic, and we're all so appreciative.
I appreciate that so much. Thank you, Carolyn.
Have a good day.
I will. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That concludes today's show. Listen in next week as I bring you another guest to speak with and interview. Have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir.